So once again, I'm quite a bit behind this week, and today I'm sitting in a lovely little spot, Collectivo, on the square in Madison, Wisconsin. Came up here with the family, trying to get away a little bit, but I want to get this out to you, and so I'm going to introduce it this way. And today's podcast, or is basically another class I taught at Christ Academy in Fort Wayne earlier this summer. It's completely in a different direction from what we looked at last time. So last time we were doing, you know, what's the Bible say? How's the Book of Acts work together? This one, I thought, especially for these young individuals, those that are guys thinking about going into pastoral ministry, that they could use a little introduction into, well, self-management and particularly time management. So what you have here is my first attempt anywhere at giving an introduction to getting things done, the method which David Allen teaches as a process for containing all the inputs that are coming into our lives these days, at least those that we tell ourselves we should do, and managing to do so in a way that we both don't forget them and don't weigh down our psyches and our consciences too much trying to remember where we put them. How many post-it notes can you have? So if that's not your cup of tea, we'll be back next time. Next week, we're going to release the final of those events from Fort Wayne, Indiana, which will be the entire Book of Revelation in a single hour. And I'm not entirely confident that that was even accomplished by me, but we tried, and I got to the end one way or the other. So hang tight for that, and for now, enjoy getting things done, at least Fisk style. Last night, I talked with the guys a little bit about the wide variety of vocations that a man who is going to lead a congregation, be an overseer of a congregation, has to be prepared to handle on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on an annual basis, on a 5-year basis, on a 10-year basis. And not all guys do this or are prepared to do this, but I would contest that they're supposed to, and B, that the description for the office of the overseer in 1 Timothy 3, along with being above reproach, holding to the faith, not being a jerk, says you're supposed to manage your household well, keeping your children in submission. Because if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for the household of God? Well, managing your household and keeping your children in submission is not achieved by saying, do it. It's achieved by learning how to work with personalities and people and time and information. That's just a part of it, but it's a big part of it. And you live probably entirely, maybe not quite, pretty close though, have lived and live entirely the first generation of the information age. And I'm the last generation of the whatever before the information age was, although we in our 40s, we got a lot of it. So my first computer came in the house when I was 7, something like that. It's an Apple 2GS, piece of junk, green screen. Tried to learn to code on it. It didn't work, so whatever, I was done with that. Guys who kept doing that are millionaires now. Anyhow, you have more information coming at you in a day or a week than your grandma, your great-grandma saw in a lifetime. And to discern what is good and what is bad, what is needed, what is not, what must be done, what should be ignored, that is a skill. And you probably do some of it intuitively, because you've had to just get this far without going insane. But at the same time, once you start saying, okay, I want this, and I want this, I'm going to hold this, good idea here, yes, this, okay, well, I could do this, and I could do this, and I could do this, you start piling this stuff up. It's only like it's kind of tough to keep track of it. And you can get to a point where you're still overloaded by all the things you want to do or thought you wanted to do or thought you had kept to do, and you're not sure where they were or where they are now. And when you're little, you can keep it all in your head. I'll talk a little more about that. It's not just the older you get, although that's part of it, but the more complex the things you are trying to remember become, the less you can keep them in your head. And so, again, naturally, you have some advantages that most people don't think about.
I used to have to use a dictionary. I'd have to get a giant book down, and I would have to know alphabetical orders and know halfway how to spell a word so I could learn how to spell the word. Which is kind of silly if you think about it. Now you got Google. Boom, done, right? So fast. There's a lot of good, but you also want to learn how to navigate the good. So what we're going to talk about now is one initial method for beginning to get a grasp on the good that you see in this information age that you want to do something about without losing the good you want and without letting all of it sweep you away into what everything else wants you to do. Every text message that you receive and you immediately look at has just made you a slave to that person. Okay? Whatever you were doing before that, they don't care. They now have your attention. But what if what you were doing before that was the thought that was going to cure cancer? And now you lost it. Now, I'm not saying don't look at your phone, but just recognize that the more distracted you are by these messages, and if you can never create space to stop them, then you will never do deep work that impacts the world. You can't. It'll be too scattered. It'll be skin deep. And what I'm going to try to give you is a way to at least begin navigating that and creating that for yourself. So, you know, Paul says it this way, I suppose. You know, why would a pastor talk about these things? All this stuff's in the Bible, but it doesn't, you know, they don't need the Bible to prove it. These are some of my favorite verses, though. Paul says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, he is saying he wants you to know the scriptures, so don't deny that. He wants you to know Jesus, obviously. But he wants us to use the time. Time is a tool and a resource for the good, for the best good. And being freed in the gospel does not mean being freed to waste our time, to misuse our time. It's the other way around. You're free to make the best use of that time. Time is a resource that no amount of money will ever give you back. Every minute, every hour, every day, every year, every decade, it's gone. We all have a certain amount, really, generally, the same amount of time. When you're young, you're like, I got so much. I'm bored. I don't know what to do. Oh, watch cable. I don't know. It's so different for you now. You have like hundreds. I had like 59 channels. Ooh, so many. I remember watching Atlanta Braves baseball in the summer. I hate baseball. And I don't care for the Braves. But it was on. And I was bored. And I didn't have the head at that point to like write books or change the world or anything. I was 10. But still, like, just throwing the time away. And our culture wants you to do that. It wants you to throw the time away. Because that's how it makes money off of you. Right? It's by getting you to spend money on them wasting your time for you. It's kind of crazy like that. Or you go into your email because you know that a friend of yours sent you an email you want to reply to, or it'll eventually be because you know you need to send an email for the work you want to do. And before you know it, you've been in your email for 30 minutes. You don't even know why you came. Right? You don't get that time back. And the tools are designed in part to do that to you by those who've created these tools and are making money on these tools. Google, YouTube, Facebook, all that. So know that. Just know that. And know that most people use time to buy money. Right? I need a job. Got to get some money. And give me a job. My first job is Taco Bell. Yeehaw, man. Wow. $5.50 an hour, I think is what it was, minimum wage back then. $5.50 an hour. So I will give you my hour for $5.50, convert today, $10, right? Because inflation and all that. That's what most of the world, 98-99% of the world, is doing almost all the time. There's a lot of hubbub in the news about that 1% who has all the money. And you know what they do with that money? They buy time. That's what they do. They pay someone to clean their house, not because they hate cleaning, but because it gives them more time. Now, you don't have to be a multimillionaire to realize that's genius. And to realize, I can take steps in my life now to not sell my time for money, unless I absolutely need to eat, and instead to start using my money, when I have it, to buy me time to do the things I want, which hopefully are not just serving yourself, but are making the best use of your faith in the present age. As a pastor especially. As a pastor especially. I think this is only going to increase. I don't do this yet, but my friend Pastor Wolfmuller, he does this. He doesn't post any of his content on his blog. A guy in India does it. He's paid, I don't know, $10 an hour, something like that, to go and find everything that Wolfmuller puts up anywhere on the internet and convert it to the blog and put it on the blog. He uses his money to buy time. It's a huge idea. The goal of having more time, again, is not to waste it, but to do more good with it. So, with that in mind, we're going to look at some principles from this book called Getting Things Done by David Allen, who, if he is religious, he is Buddhist. But he's not really. He's not really. So we're not going here for his spirituality or his insights into the eternal. But what he's really put his finger on is he figured out how your mind works naturally every time it plans to do anything. So if you want to go to the restaurant, your mind will do a certain set of steps. And he thought, what if I did that on purpose? Like with everything. And what he discovered is a way to cut through the noise very, very quickly and efficiently. So I'm going to try to give you as much of that as I can in an hour. I recommend that everyone in the world read this book. My wife hates it. It didn't do it for her. But I've reread this book more than any other book outside of the Bible and the Confessions. No other book. And it's because it is so foundational that I can never get enough of it reminding me, oh yeah, it'd be easier if I did it that way. That kind of thing. So this information age that I mentioned before, where everything is free-flowing, everybody can make something, say something, do something, and then receive and see and watch and hear it. It's a swampland of what he calls open loops. Open loops. Open loops are thoughts that you have about doing something. So a commercial comes on, and it's for the coolest thing you ever saw. I don't know what that is. Something cool. And you think, man, I would like one of those. I want one of those. You have just, in your conscience, in your mind, created an open loop. You have made a plan for something that a moment from now you'll forget. And if you never see the commercial again, you may never actually get the thing again. So while your intellect has forgotten, your brain hasn't. And in that, your conscience hasn't. There's something that your deep, deep self knows you want to do, and you haven't done it yet. Well, that's one thing. Big deal. Okay. So, do that all day long, every day, for 5 years, and you have so many open loops flowing through your brain that you don't even know are there. Not just the random commercial, but the stuff you actually thought, that's a good idea, I should really do that. That your brain begins to clog. I'll probably come back to this, or there's a slide that touches on this already later. But if you're not a computer kind of nerd, maybe you do, I don't know. Maybe you don't. This won't mean anything to you. But to me, this is the best analogy of it. In your computer, you have a number of main things. But you have two main things for information. You have a processor, and you have RAM. You also have a hard drive, which is your deep memory. But let's just leave that aside for the moment. You have a processor and you have RAM. And the RAM and the processor are working together to make whatever's going on your screen, app, game, video, whatever, It's all happening through that RAM, this certain fixed amount of memory that's being stored for quick access. And the reason you can't play the video game you really want to play at the super high definition you want to play it at is because it takes too much RAM. The computer cannot possibly hold that much in one place and process it at the same time. Well, what you're doing when you have open loops that are unresolved in your life is you are filling up your RAM. And unlike a computer, your brain does not have a hard drive. Not really. I mean, there's some, but not really. Not really. And so unless you find a way to build an external hard drive for your head, eventually your RAM's going to get clogged, and now you're working on one of those computers from 7 or 8 years ago where you turn it on and you got to wait 10 minutes for it to start. And you're doing that every morning, driving to work, trying to figure out what you're going to get done that day. So the goal of this is try to at least clean that to get some clarity for a little while, to get rid of some of that white noise that then ends up being, we don't feel it as, I didn't get that this or I need to do that. We just have this unnamed stress and anxiety that follows us around. It's all these open loops of things we've promised ourselves we do that we've forgotten we're going to do, but then we haven't forgotten we're going to do it, so we're freaked out about it. We don't even know what it was. The best use of your mind, therefore, requires training your muscles of clarification and reflection. I'll explain what those words mean as we go. Here's five big ideas to keep in mind before we get to the main points. Is that right? Nope. These are actually kind of the main points. Kind of. It's harder and maybe even impossible to get something done if you've never defined what done is. So if you thought, oh, I'd like to go to Europe someday. Cool, you're never going. That's not a plan. Right? You don't even know what it means to go to Europe. You got to figure out what that is. Right? What does that mean? France? Bulgaria? What? Russia? I mean, what? You need a plan. How much does it cost? How long would it take? Is there a place to stay? Is there a war going on right now? Right? You've never even thought it through. But nonetheless, you've held this open loop. I'd like to go to Europe someday. Threw it up there. Right? And then now it's there behind you all the time. You can't get it done if you don't define what it is. Defining what done is means you have to capture all the things that you've told yourself you ought to do. Capture. The habit of writing down a thought you've had, especially if it is, I would like to, or I ought to, or I must. It should be written down outside of your head. Because that's the only way to permanently resolve what it is. Right? To permanently resolve what it is. It's called capturing. Again, we'll come back to that term, capturing. Of course, capturing your thoughts is totally useless if you never take the time to clarify what you've caught. If you write it on a billion post-it notes thrown everywhere and in the back of your car and all over the ceiling, you're just going to walk in and you're going to ignore the post-it notes. You're never going to look at them. You're going to ignore it. It's just too much. You can't possibly process it like that. And as a result, it doesn't do any good. People come in and maybe think you're an artist or something, but aside from that, it's not going to do any good. So it's useless to capture if you never take the time to clarify. We'll come back to that. What's clarify? If you can't then find the things you've clarified, even if you've taken the time to clarify, figure out what it really means, write it down in a clear way, in some sort of structure and order, if you can't get to it when you do need it most, then you've lost your ability to get it done. How many of you have gone into your email inbox because there was something there that you know is there somewhere in order to send something else to somebody else, but you had to get that other thing first? Have you ever had that happen? Yeah, right. The reason you couldn't find it, aside from the search engine wasn't good enough yet, but the reason you couldn't find it is because there was too much white noise of other things for you to get to it. Rule of thumb, your email inbox is the worst place ever to store anything. It's not a joke, though. I'm dead serious. Get out. Whatever you want to save, get it out of your inbox. My inbox is to zero every day. I keep nothing in archives because it's insane to try. I go in to send. I go in to respond to what I receive that day. I'm out. Still takes 45 minutes. Stupid. Hate email. Hate it. Anyway, if you can't find it, You've lost your ability to do it. If you don't reflect on what you've made sure not to lose, then you've lost it in a very organized and time-wasting way. So, if you find a way to control all of this, like maybe on the side of your inbox, you have all these archive folders, and you figured out ways for Bob's emails, and Jim's emails, and Mom's emails, all this stuff there, right? But then you still never even look what's in there, so there's so much in your archives, you're like, I don't want to go look in the archives right now, it's just going to take too much time. Well, then you lost it, and you wasted time losing it. I mean, think about it. So you need to take these steps, define, capture, clarify, reflect, and there's a little bit more. But how, right? How? Now, this is kind of the same idea, I'm just repeating myself a little bit, but seriously, it just is so important. Anxiety does not exist because you have too much to do. Anxiety exists from lying to yourself about what you plan to do. You've told yourself something you're going to do and you've forgotten to do it. That's where the anxiety comes from. It's not from being, well, if you're too busy, it's because you haven't planned. Busyness is a form of laziness. It's a form of avoidance and kind of intentional ignorance. And yes, it causes anxiety. Absolutely. Every ought that you think is a contract you have made with your conscience, and every ought that you forget is a broken agreement that your conscience remembers. I'm not saying you're going to get a conscience that never feels its sin or needs absolution or anything like that. But I am saying that the fog and the white noise can be at least pruned and pushed back. But it means you've got to capture these open loops, define them, and then either do them or make the decision you didn't make when you were watching the commercial for whatever, and then it turned off, which could have been, yeah, I'd really like those, but that's a waste of time. I don't want to do that. Oh, you closed it. There it is. It's over. Right? But the commercial's already gone to something else. You haven't had time to have that thought. Right? So you got to get yourself to a point where you're able to do that. Break the agreement on purpose. So your mind is for having ideas, not holding them. This is this RAM versus processor versus hard drive thing. You are not meant to store anything in your short-term memory, except for what you need most immediately. Do you have long-term memory? Yes. Can you store stuff that you will never forget? Well, when you get old, it's kind of crazy. But mostly, right? Mostly, you can store things. I'm not as worried about that. There's all sorts of other stuff about how much and what should you store in your long-term memory. That's a very interesting topic. But I'm more concerned with short-term right now because that's where your fog comes from. It's where your anxiety is. And so learning just to say, I'm not supposed to keep it in my head. I wasn't made for that. My head wasn't made to store what I need to do in 15 minutes. It was made to be full on doing it in 15 minutes when I got there, without thinking about what I have to store for later. So how do you do it? How do you do it? Well, this is not quite the answer, but it's a good little pithy thing. Making the best use means using your mind to get things off your mind so that you can do the things you have a mind to do. You've got to strip away the noise and the thoughts and create that block of free conscience and deep work uninterrupted to achieve what you actually think is worth doing in this life. Blocks of time 2 to 3 hours wide, uninterrupted, are gold. Gold. They are hard to find in this life. Pastors especially hard to find. So you have to make them. You have to make them somehow. Different topic, but worth pursuing someday. Okay, so the steps of the getting things done, the GTD method. By the way, if you Google GTD, this is like a worldwide movement. You can find all sorts of stuff, videos, whatnot on this too. I'm not the only one saying this. The basic structure looks like this though. Capture, clarify, organize, reflect, engage. Capture means you have to collect what has your attention at all costs. Which of course does mean writing it down. That can be digital, or that can be analog, paper form. This is a thing that's called the Everbook. I'll tell you about that if you want later. But along with my Everbook, I always have one of these. little pad of paper. It's always ready to capture. I also carry a single sheet of paper that every week has spots for today, Tuesday, right, Wednesday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, that's right. No Sunday on there. And in the middle has space for all the various types of tasks I want to get done that day. Anyhow, on the back, there's a column. On the top of the column, it says in. So I try not to go to this if I can get to this fast enough to put the capture into in. This works too, though, in a pinch. You need something. You need something. Start with something. Capture. Clarify. Figure out what it really means. You know, if I fill this column up with stuff of in, let's see what's here. What do these things mean? Time for quarterly review, ED consult, easy morning yoga, ancient leg, Luke 8, newsletter, subscribe on web. What does that mean? Right? You don't know what that means. I kind of do, but it means a whole lot more than what I wrote down. So to know the goals and the actual projects that are coming out of these things, I have to take some time to go back and look at this inbox, pull the pieces out of it, and write down somewhere else what they really mean. Again, that does take time, but that's clarifying. One example he gives in the book is like, and this may not quite be for you yet, but you'll have this happen in some way, shape, or form where you have something you know you're supposed to do, you jot down the note, and the note says, Mom. And like 3 days later, you come back, and you're just like, I got one, right? I don't know. Worse is if like you do know what it means, but you leave it on the same piece of paper you use all week to try to be your kind of to-do list, and it just says, Mom. Well, every time you look at that, you know there's something there you have to do, and you know there's more to do it, but well, you're not doing it. It's been there for 3 days. What does it mean? Now, let's just say you're older now, and it's Mom's having trouble with her car insurance, and you got to help her. But you still just see Mom's insurance, okay? And every time you see it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when you're really too tired to do anything of substance, which is a great time to make a phone call to an insurance company, frankly, you're still too tired to do it. Why? Because Mom's insurance, first, is not actually a project. It's not something you can do. And the second, there's a missing step you need to actually do it. What do you need in order to talk to Mom's insurance agent? A phone number. Now, if that were there, it might get done. This process of clarifying is trying to figure out what the missing next step is from whatever you wrote down to actually doing it. Now, organize, put it where it belongs. So, as you clarify, you will. If you take a page of notes, even if you're doing this morning, I guarantee you, if you took notes this morning on anything that I did, if you go back and look through that, you will immediately begin to want to organize it. You'll make connection between things. You'll say, this belongs over here. You'll say, I should take this out of somewhere else. You do this natively in your head. So you want to do that with what you've captured from your head about what you've told yourself you've ought to do. Because, frankly, there's no way I can go through this list. Time for quality from quarterly review, ED consult, newsletter subscribe. Like, the ordering's all wrong. And they're all going to be done in different places. So in order to really get them done, I need to pull them apart and put them where they need to be so that I can do them when I'm where I can do them. I can't send emails in the car, right? I could call an insurance agent. Yeah, that kind of thing. Organize, put it where it belongs, and have a system that you understand where it is. We'll get back to that a little bit. Reflect. So no matter how good your organization is, no matter whatever system you figure out that begins to organize what you want to do in all your projects, if you don't go back and review it, go through it all at some point, if you don't do that, it's again as good as lost. And the worst part is, a lot of times, what needs to be done changes over time, either from your opinion or from what else has happened somewhere else. And so taking time to go back through whatever you've listed and figure out what you really want to do next is very important, again, to keeping the brain clear. And then, of course, engage means to do what is most relevant to this moment right now. To get to a point from, I've captured these things, to organize them into the long, what I want to do about these things, to here I am doing it, picking up the phone, calling the insurance agent. Now, what I said earlier, this is the way your brain works automatically. When you put on your socks in the morning, you do this. Okay? When you go out to dinner, you do this. I'm just going to use dinner and a dinner with my wife, which is a good example. I am tired of my day as a pastor, and I say, wife, and she says, husband. And I say, I want a margarita. And she says, okay. And I said, I want cheese dip and chips. She says, okay, let's go out for margaritas and chips. And I say, where do you want to go? Because there's like three or four in town, like most of them, reasonably well. Some are further than others. Some are more expensive than others. So I ask, where you want to go? We've caught it. Now I'm clarifying. We hem it back and forth. Oh, you know, Lucha Cantina's got that great cheese. A little pricey. Let's do that tonight. Okay, sure, we do that. Now we got to go. So put on the shoes. Make sure the kids are playing Minecraft so they won't burn the house down. Get all together to go. We're organized to go. We get in the car, and inevitably I say, are we good to go? Do we have everything we need? Do you want to go to Lucha for sure? Reflect. Right? Making sure it's the right thing to do, and then phew, gas pedal, go. Right? Every decision you make in life runs through this process. What you want to learn to do is do it on purpose for the bigger stuff, right? Your socks, who cares? I mean, you do, but nobody else does. So collect what has your attention, figure out what it really means, put it where it belongs, review it habitually, and put the most essential next actions to take in the easiest possible place to find. You've already seen my little piece of paper. The middle of this is the most essential next actions for my week. Nothing goes there if it's not going to get done this week, even if I really, really want to do it. Man, and it doesn't all get done anyway. It's kind of ridiculous, but at least I know what, if I have a moment anywhere, anytime, I'll pick this thing up and I'll say, can I do one of these things, right? So, letters. I needed to pick up the stationery and the letters and envelopes. I didn't, but I have a little bit left. So I could write the visitor note. I have one visitor note. Right here in my briefcase, there is, along with a bunch of other random stuff, which you really want to avoid random stuff because it gets in the way. But there it is. A visitor slip. They dropped it in the offering plate when they were there on Sunday. Name and address. I'm going to write a handwritten note to them. Thanks for coming. Have fun in Canada, which is where they live. So we're not going to see them again. They live in Canada. But write the note anyway. But there it is. So I have quick access to remembering that little thing, which frankly, with since I have the stationery in here, will only take me 5 minutes if I just sit down and do it. But to remember to do it, I never would have thought of that here Friday afternoon. Ever would have thought of that. But there it is. If I just bothered to look at my piece of paper, I'd be doing it. If you get good at this, it just gets harder. You'll get addicted to the clarity. You'll get addicted to how much you got done. And then you'll be like, wow, I get so much done in an hour, I should do more. And you start making more lists. And, oh, wait, now there's more to do. Oh, so the better you get, the better you had better get. The more time you find that you have, the more things you'll tell yourself you should do, and thus the less time you'll have to do them. So knowing that, learning to say no to things is pretty much an important part of this. Learning to push things into the future in ways that you'll find them later, as well as saying this is just not something I'm ever going to do. Although even there's a way to push that forward. I'll try to say something about that. So we're going to talk, though, about how, once you start having all this information, there's a couple of directions you want them to line up. You want to have horizontal coherence. You want to tie together horizontally, or else you'll never finish your projects. And you want it to tie together vertically, Or your finished products will not achieve your goals. Now, I'm going to try to explain what that means a little bit more here. And we've talked a little bit about horizontal already. Getting aligned horizontally means you're able to move from I've had the idea, I think this is good, I would like to have it done, through the process until you're doing it. Until you're doing it. Capture, clarify, organize, reflect, and go and do. So without that kind of process, all your big ideas won't come to pass. I mean, you could run into some accidentally, but odds are you end up in a cubicle doing what someone else tells you to do the rest of your life. And maybe that's what you want. Probably will have some dental care. Maybe. Maybe. But if you really want to do things, you need a plan to do things. And that starts with, again, you got to write it down, start organizing, start reflecting on it. Vertical is taking this all in a whole different direction. Can I shrink this just a little bit here? Uh-oh. Now I'm back on the screen. Hi, me. There we go. This is about not merely achieving the project you said, oh, I think this would be good to do. But once you've gotten to that point, starting to ask the question, does this thing that I think it would be good to do line up with everything I really want to do in a way that reflects who God has made me or who I actually am? Because it's really easy to do a lot of really cool stuff and make all sorts of cool things that don't, in fact, fulfill you. Because they're not what you really want to do. They keep you from what you really want to do. And even then are a denial of who you are. An example from my own life. I realized, I'm still not good at getting out of this, but I realized 2 years ago that I was doing all sorts of stuff. I was on the radio, and I was making videos, and I was just trying to be as visibly present as possible in the hopes that somehow that would create enough of a situation where I had the time and money to write. And meanwhile, I wasn't writing. I hadn't written for like 3 years. And I thought, well, I'm doing all these things. Some of them are bad. They're all mostly good. But I'm doing them, I'm spending all this time doing them so I can write. So what if I stopped doing like three of them and wrote? Huh. Wow. Yeah. And in that process, again, for myself, part of that was my learning that one of my ultimate purposes as a creature is to write. I can't deny it. If I do not write during the day, and I don't mean email, I feel like crap at night. And if I write 500 cruddy, lame, weak, boring words toward a book I think I might write, I feel better. That's who I am. That's who I'm made to be. Well, not everyone's that, right? You're not going to be that. But you're going to be something. And to begin to ask, again, are the things I'm doing now that are my projects, are they in line with my purpose and my principles, with who I really am, and then also with where I want to be? So your principles are the ideals you would die rather than deny. Now, I would hope your faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is one of these things. And it's very pious to say that's the thing. Well, good. There's more. There's more. Right? And die is maybe a hard word. You don't want to say, I would rather die than never have a shower again. But my guess is you probably really want to have a shower, right? So hygiene is a principle for you. Maybe. Guys, maybe not. I don't know. You know? But it is for many of you. So figuring out those principles is a big part of deciding what you want to do as a human being so that you feel fulfilled as that human being. You can have all the money in the world, and if you don't know what your principles are, or if you've betrayed them to get there, you'll be a very unsatisfied and unhappy person. And again, your purpose is less about some ideological theology. This isn't really about, you know, my purpose as a creature in God's sight is to receive God's gifts through Jesus. Yes, true. But that's everybody. Okay? What about you is unique in purpose that if you deny that thing will cause you suffering. Now, granted, there's a lot of people who've lived through times in history and life where it didn't matter what they really wanted to do. I want to be an artist. You're a slave. Row, right? Okay. You know, there's nothing you could do about it. But you don't live there. You live at the cusp of the greatest revolutionary financial change in 500 years, if not world history. At the pinnacle of the nation that's in front of it, with the top of its education. Now, you can't fly. Maybe you can. I don't know. You can't fly, probably. But you can do just about anything within reason. But the only way you're gonna do it, again, is by making that plan. My point is, figure out what it is. And get this. Just because you realize you're an artist doesn't mean you have to make a living as an artist. In fact, the worst thing you could do might be try to make a living as an artist. Many writers kill their writing by becoming journalists. And they learn to hate it. They learn to hate it. It doesn't mean get a job, right? But learning what you're made for. And then with that, knowing what you're made for, start thinking about your vision. And when church people talk about vision, they just go evil on us. So just ignore, if you've ever heard that garbage, just throw it away. We're not talking about that. Vision is just a picture of the future that you want, you personally, yeah? The life you want to lead. Yeah? Americans ask it in a really stupid way. What do you want to be when you grow up? That's a really dumb question. Even a human, right? It's a dumb question. It's more like, when you are an adult, what are three things you want to have achieved that the world can see? And what are three things you want to be able to continue to experience? That's what the vision for your life might be. Right? That's a good thing. It's a really good thing. I mean, it could be evil if you do pick evil things, I suppose. Right? Goals, then, would be the achievements you think can get you there. So, if one of your goals, I'll give you one of mine that still hasn't happened, probably never will, but maybe, we'll see, is to write a fantasy, sci-fi, fiction novel that's so good that people are reading it in 100 years. It's one of my goals. It's audacious. Well, if I never write the book, which I haven't written that one, then that goal won't happen, right? So the vision is, at that point, what would that look like? I can't read 100 years from now, but by that point, it ought to be doing well in the market. It would be outside of the LCMS. Broken and Echo, no one outside the LCMS has read these books. So it would have to be outside of that. So in 10 or 20 or 30 years, if I've written a fiction book that's outside the LCMS, well, I can sit back and say, okay, I've done something that would move me toward my vision, right? And if I haven't written the book at all, well then I haven't. And maybe it won't be the first book I write. Well, what's the first thing I got to do? I need a goal. I got to write a fiction book. Boom, goal. It's not the vision. It's a goal that moves me toward my vision, right? Now, is that my main vision in life? No. But it's a good example, right? It's a good example. Accountabilities. So this is like this other piece that like comes in from the side. So while you're doing this, while you see what you want to have in life, you are setting short-term goals that will try to get you there. You also have vocations. You have hats you wear, responsibilities you've been given, contexts that you are in that you do need to attend to. You're not free to ignore them. And in that regard, they also kind of give you some of what comes next. So your current projects are a result of your goals that get to your vision because of your purpose and the accountabilities you have to others. Both of those turn into the current projects, short-term duns, that will lead to the fulfillment of goals, whether yours or those of your accountabilities. And again, those projects would be what your movement toward the next action list is always about getting to. Huh? There's next actions. The good things to do to get your projects done. All right, now that might be a little heady. I don't know. Not as on the ground as the capture stuff, but I'm not kidding you. If you want the life you dreamed about as a kid to happen, nobody's going to give it to you. And it's harder now than it's ever been. And the college degree, I said this to the guys the other night, is no guarantee at all. So, if you want it, you got to go get it. And you're not going to go get it by going on American Idol and wailing without ever practicing. Right? Won't work. So, what you need most right now, and depending on your level of high school, this will more or less help you, but the more you progress, and certainly as you move into postgraduate or post-high school work, this becomes tremendously, tremendously important. You need an inbox, right? A place to capture. I know it's really small, isn't it? Bah. You need a place to capture your information. Oh, look, I was supposed to write things over here. I didn't do it. A place to capture your information. So, again, piece of paper, journal, what have you. And you want to try to put every thought that you have that's valuable down. I mean, you can cross it off and not do anything with it later. But the habit is just to be able to capture all of it. Don't keep anything in your head. Now, your head's fine. Your head's fine. Get it empty. It'll feel better even. You need a calendar. Because a calendar is where the things that are in your inbox that have a specific date and time with another human being need to be stored. And everyone in the world uses a calendar because, well, they work. Huh? If it's on your calendar, you know how to check it. You don't have three calendars. Bad idea. Well, then you're going to be getting those things done. Okay, fine. That's pretty easy. But then what everyone in the world doesn't have is some form of projects list. A way of, after you have inboxed it, and you've looked at it, and you've assessed it, and we'll talk about that briefly, and you've realized that this thing is going to take more than one step and probably more than 1 week for me to do, well, then I need to put it somewhere other than my next action list, right? It can't be on my to-dos. It's too big for that. So I need a way to store it somewhere else. Now, again, I can only tell you what I'm doing now. I've tried digital. I went digital for a long time. I've tried bullet journaling. It was okay. So I use this thing with these separate pieces of paper that all just cut at home and slide together in bundles. But this is my projects list. Might as well be like a full-on bullet journal, right? Probably 50 to 75 projects in here. There are separate bundles in them by category. A is stuff I want to see first, church office, curriculum, phase two, set apart, that's our stewardship event this fall. And inside each one of those, again, there's single pieces of paper. And each piece of paper here is a specific project. Something that requires more than one step and won't be done this week. So this one here I just pulled out is Speak Iowa DeSica. I'm speaking at a camp in Iowa East District later this summer. And man, look at that. That's crazy, right? Look at all that stuff. Oh, it took a long time to get here. But if you start doing this, you'll find out. You'll get there pretty quick, too. This would be useless to me, though, if I didn't look at it. Every Monday morning, for 3 to 4 hours, I sit down. I do nothing else. I go through this one page at a time. And I figure out what needs to go here. So that this week, it all moves a little bit. A little bit and a little bit and a little bit. That's the next action, right? So next action and project have to be separate. If they're not separate, this is as bad as the post-it notes all over your ceiling, right? You're just never going to get into it. It takes too long. But once you figure out how to organize it as a good list, well then, when you review it, it spurs you forward. Reminder system, that's the next action list I just said. So you want to then, from this, put reminders into something that's quick to find, easy to find, single piece of paper is really where you ought to start. You can try it on your computer. Digital stuff is just, it gets messy so fast. Then you have these other things, and you know, you do need these. A tickler system. So a tickler system is an old idea. A tickler file, giggling. A tickler file is an old file drawer, right, with a single manila folder for every single day of the year. Okay, 365 manila folders, and each day is dated. And you would keep this by your drawer, and you would say, oh, look, a bill that's due in 6 months. What's 6 months from today? And you know, a week before that, you go and you drop it in that number that's way back there. And then also, to make it work, every morning you got to pull out today's file, open it. What did I mail myself? And then put it in the back. It's a really ingenious idea, right? 1900s, you know, hacking, as it were. Little much for me now. There are, I know a pastor who's actually done that with one of these books, but I don't use that, but I do. What I use instead is, well, they're kind of mixed up here. Did I put it on the other side? Where are you? There you go. All right. I use three separate. Nope. I should have one more. And I don't know where it is. I'm not going to. Where are you? Oh, that's bad. No, that's right. Three files. All right. So I have three separate bundles. Not one for every day of the year, but I have one that is for the first day of every month. So when I'm doing my sit down for 3 hours on that first Monday, whichever Monday is first in the month, boom, go through this one too. So if I'm going through all these projects and all this other stuff, and I'm like, I'm not getting this month. It ain't happening. But I don't want to forget. It's important. I want to come back soon. It goes in there. Then I have a quarterly. So I do the same thing every 3 months. At that point, I schedule a whole day for that. But I'll go through that. I'm not going to get it done this month. I'm not going to get it done this summer, but it's super important. In fact, wow, it's like I got to call this guy about the Reformation service. That needs to happen before the fall. Well, throw it in the quarterly tickler. Catch it when it catches up. And then can you guess the last one? Monthly, quarterly? Yeah, annual. Annual tickler. Pretty thin. Yeah? But there's cool stuff in here. Let's see here. Let's see. Maybe something fun. I'm going to invent bedtime blue blockers. Do you guys even know what blue blockers are? No? They're these glasses, sunglasses that were sold on like infomercials a while back, and they block all the UV rays entirely. And now you can go and you can buy high-quality UV blockers to wear at night before you go to bed to help your sleep. Because if you're looking at the screen before you sleep, it's giving you bad sleep. It's like the first 3-4 hours are just going to be bad. The cortisol created or sent in the brain by the blue light, which makes you think it's daytime, pushes away the serotonin, which makes you have a good night's sleep. So you can buy them. They're like $80. But I have a pair. When you're trying to read on your side at night, they're very uncomfortable. You know, like the pillow, it doesn't work. So I want to invent some that you can wear while you're on a pillow. It's probably not going to happen. That's why it's in the annual tickler, right? I see. There's another fun one in here. Come on. Oh, Holy Week for next year. So I'll see this next winter, right? All my notes for Holy Week, I made them right after Holy Week this year. Threw them in there. I'll see them next winter when I need them. Hey, what do you think of this one? The Immortals Cruise for singles. So it's like a conference on a cruise ship for 17 to 39-year-old women and 19 to 39-year-old men with speakers and icebreakers. I think it sounds great. Yeah, so it's not that bad. Come on. So you need a tickler. The idea is that you want a way to take the information you know you need but you don't need now and push it ahead by date in some way that it comes back, and your calendar won't work. There's reasons for that. You just got to trust me. So a tickler file of some kind, a someday maybe list, right, would also be what that is. Then you need a reference system. This is not a tickler file. This is where there is no date attached to this thing. I don't even know if I'm really going to need it. I think I really want it, though, for some reason. Like, I read this article, and it was really cool. They talked about the genus myostaticum, and I know someday that that'll make my sermon really come together, so I'm going to file it, right? A filing system of some kind. This is where I try to go digital. I try to get as much of my filing into digital as possible. Even so, I still have a stinking full cabinet full of it because the taxes, you got to keep all your receipts and blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, we need a reference system. The most important thing I can tell you about your reference system is you have to trust it. You have to trust it to be able to be gotten through and found. And the single best tool you have in that is alphabetization. Most people try to file things by category. Don't. Alphabetize it. Right? And when you alphabetize it, call it what it is. Don't say car, say Toyota. Right? If you do that, you'll always be able to find it. Always. No matter what it's next to, too. It's kind of amazing. So, reference system. The habit of the weekly review to get clean, clear, current, and complete, which is what I said a moment ago. That's my Monday. All right. See, I must have just run out of time and thought, I'll finish this later. See, I didn't write it down and got ahead of me. So, you should be bigger. I apologize. Three things about your inbox. So when you're going through your inbox, right? So let's say you've captured for a week. Yeah, good for you. You've captured for a week. And you're going to sit down with your little list on your back of your sheet or your notepad or wherever you're going to go through it. There are three types of things you will find here. One of them is an action. One of them is maybe an action. And one of them is reference. Excuse me, four things. And then you have trash. That should say four things. Trash, action, maybe action, reference. So trash means, I mean, you know this, right? Do I need it? But I'm pretty sure, and maybe not, but I'm pretty sure if I went to your bedroom, there's some trash there, right? No? Perfectly clean? Do you have a desk? You have a desk in your room? Go look at your dad's desk. Say, hey, Dad, what's on your desk? Everything I need. Really? You start filing through stuff. It's like, you know, a 10% off a magazine and the expired like 6 years ago or something, right? Oh, what's this? You need this? No. Well, and it's all piled up on the desk, which is why you never want to go to the desk. Because every time you go to the desk, you're like, oh, there's too much to think about. And so you ignore it. Piles are bad. Piles are death, right? So deciding you have trash and being willing to throw the trash away is a very, very key step. It doesn't take long if you just go through it once. Nothing should stay in your inbox. I should say that, by the way. Whether it's a physical inbox on your desk at home or whether it is an analog or digital one, nothing should be stored there. Once you go in to look at it, you should pull it out. And if it's trash, it's trash. So on my list, if I did, trash would be, I decided not to do it. Cross it off. Not going to do it. Action. When you get to action, there are two different options to action. One is, can I do it in 2 minutes? And if the answer is yes, do it. Don't even wait. Just do it. Get it done. It takes more time to store information than it does to do it. So just do it in 2 minutes. If it's more than 2 minutes, don't do it. Now you need to put a reminder somewhere else. That can mean anything from putting this with the project it really belongs with to creating a new project, which this thing is, right, on your project list. Again, for me, while I'm doing this at the Starbucks, it's always at a Starbucks usually, and I've got my projects thing out in front of me, and I'm working with my inbox, I'm trying to review, and I need a new thing, out comes my blanks folder, bundle, pull out a blank, there it is. These are all alphabetical, throw it in, it's done. More than 2 minutes, about 4 minutes for a project probably, unless I really want to brainstorm on the project at the time, which depends on how much I still have to do. In either case, you want that action to be placed in a place where you will remember to do it. Again, if it's not going to be a project, I might also put it onto my, now they're all getting piled everywhere, onto my next actions list, the middle of my weekly sheet, right? I'm going to get this done this week, so it's going to go right there. That kind of thing. A maybe action is something that is a bit of information about doing something you think you want to do, but you're not sure you want to do, or you can't do it yet, because something else has to happen first. Again, this can go either into your projects file, or maybe more appropriately, into a tickler file. And then you have reference. This is information that you can't do anything about, but you like the information. You want to keep it. This should not be kept in your standard to-do area, right? There is no reference here. Exception. The only reference is this messy little briefcase with like 7 things in it because I might need them this week. That's it. If I don't need it this week, it gets out of there because otherwise it clogs the brain. If it is time-specific and day-specific, that's where your calendar matters. And then again, once you've got an action and it's on your list, you do have 3 things you can do with that action. You can do it yourself, you can defer it, or you can delegate it. Now, do it yourself is evident. Defer it means put it off till next week. Now you want it in the tickler file or wherever, right? In your project list. And then delegate it means get somebody else to do it for you. And you might not have that now, but then again, you might. Hey, Mom, could you do this? Right? Well, you've delegated it. The trick with delegation is if the person who you delegate it to is not trustworthy enough to get it done, and you have no way of remembering it needs to get done, it won't get done and it'll still be an open loop. Right? So finding a way to track what you've delegated is kind of important. That's a big, big kind of deal. All right. And then these are just tactics toward the end here. Yeah, I didn't even finish the presentation. That's terrible. Man. 2-minute rules right there on top. If you've thought a thought more than once, then it's on your mind. It's clogging your RAM. And that's just a key thing to take away from this. To stop a commitment your mind has made, that's number 4 up there. From slowing you down, you need to renegotiate the commitment. You cannot renegotiate the commitment until you know what it is. That's why you got to write it down. Then you renegotiate it. Things are on your mind because you want them to change. That's good. That's good. Yeah? But they're not going to change unless you actually take action. And the key to taking action is to clarifying that action. That helps to do that by writing it down. You'll never get things off your mind if you don't trust your system for capturing, storing, and finding them. Right? Which is why, again, that first post-it note feels really good. Yeah, I get all this to do today. And by the time you got 10 post-it notes, you hate your post-it notes. Oh my goodness, what's going on? I got so many post-it notes, right? So your system is untrustworthy. And again, there are different tools out there for trying to create trustworthy systems. But what I said before about what you need, an inbox that you keep empty, a projects list, a reference file, and a tickler system, good calendar, that is essential to any good system. You can't have a good system without those things, no matter where you keep it. Huh? Your mind's not going to stop pestering you until you learn how to tell it to. Keeping it in your mind is not a guarantee that you will not forget. In fact, the problem increases with age, poor nutrition, and childbearing. So right now, again, you can keep most of your life in your head. Probably without too much trouble, although, again, the inbox example demonstrates not as much as you thought. That's only going to get worse. Not just because, well, messages are coming faster and faster, but because your brain is going to begin slowing down, having little holes in it. And then if you eat what you are, I guarantee you, you're eating, that will only make it worse. Sugar and wheat particularly are terrible for the human brain, completely fog and clouded. That's why right after you eat lunch with all that bread, you're like, oh, I can't even do anything. Well, yeah. Hey, you just ate an opiate. You know, you're high. I'm not kidding. So, well, okay, fine. If you're going to do that, then at least know you're going to do that and have a way to trick your brain into getting back to what needs to be done. You're not going to remember it, have it written down. And then, ladies, I hate to break it to you, but the wonderful and a marvelous gift of childbearing that I encourage you each to do, if at all possible, will change your biochemistry in such a way that there's a good chance you're just a little more scattered after than before. Sometimes it comes back, sometimes it doesn't. And the more kids you have, well, the more scattered you kind of get. It's not really bad. It just kind of is what is. And again, the problem isn't even that. As long as you know, oh wait, my brain's not going to be good at remembering everything eventually. What if I learn to write it down before that day comes? Well, now you don't even notice it. Right? You don't have to remember. So all of our brains are going this way eventually. For different reasons, age, nutrition, childbearing. Be aware of that. Stuff is the definition of things you've allowed to stay in your mind for no good reason at all. You got a lot of stuff to do. Then you're not going to get much done, are you? You don't even know what it is. That kind of thing. So, going back to where we started to end. I know, it's so boring. Sigh. Five big ideas. Where do I want? I want the money time one. Where are you? There we go. I cannot emphasize this enough. Time is a resource. And every moment you spend not remembering something or digging through an email inbox trying to find something is a moment you're not doing what you have always dreamed to do. And you're letting slip away the moments that will build to what you've always dreamed to do. So either you figure out how to leverage the modern age in your favor, or again, you just let the modern age run your life for you. I think Christians are free and wise enough to not do that. And then that includes realizing that using your time to buy money is not only dissatisfying, but a tremendously wasteful thing. It's slavery, effectively. And you have the potential and the time right now to figure out how to use your money to buy time. Do you need to produce things in order to gain an income? Yes, you do. You have to be able to benefit society so society wants to benefit you. Trade goods, right? Make product. You have to do that. But if you want to be able to find a way to do that in a way that you love, well, then you're not going to be doing it for the money. You're going to be doing it because you've clarified this ground horizontal level enough and gotten enough done on that level. You can start thinking about that. Where do I want to be in 10 years? Question. And then start putting into place actual milestones, steps, projects that will get you there. That will get you there. And of course, you want to reassess that regularly because, man, if you got a 10-year goal, you don't look at it for 10 years, but you're working for it, and you get to year 9, you're like, I hate this. Well, that was dumb. Yeah? So you got to reassess it. Got to reassess according to your purpose and values. Guys, if you're going to seminary, get this book. Read it. I mean it. Read it. It will help. If you're not, you still probably want it. Let's take a 15-minute break and come back.
Was that worth a dollar? What about five? Click the Patreon link in the show notes to sign up. Pretty please?